Praise God. Can we thank God for this great worship team here, laboring in the music and spirit? Wonderful. Thank you, guys. You're a blessing. Is this for me? Yeah. Nobody's claiming it, so. Well, are you going to help me preach, Lacey Rose? Huh? Yeah. Hallelujah. Well, I'm honored to be here again with you guys tonight, and shocked that you showed up again, so I'm, praise God. Tell the Lord every week when I show up to church, Lord, they showed up again. Wow, something good's going on. So I'm blessed to be here, and I want to, Pastor Monty, thank you for that word. That was really, really good stuff. Very, very good. Very good. You know, I was telling Hannah, I was looking up that word yesterday, word press. I was looking at all kinds of different variations of the word press throughout the New Testament, and yeah, that was a personal word to me tonight. So if nobody else thought anything of it, it blessed me big time. So I appreciate you bringing that tonight, and remembering that there is an adversary, but it's an adversary that's already beat, and all we do is enforce and invoke the victory that we already have through the "it is finished" work of Christ Jesus. Amen. Hallelujah. Thank God Almighty for the victory. I'm glad to be living in victory. Let's go to Matthew chapter. No, let's not. Let's go to Romans chapter 7. Romans chapter 7. Is it okay if I share a few puns with you this evening? I'm going to share them whether it's okay or not. So be ready. By the way, we have Pastor Roxanne Alexander and Miss Deb Field in the house with us tonight. So Pastor Roxanne is going to be ministering tomorrow night. How many of you have got to hear Pastor Roxanne minister? Amen. Yeah. Well, we just had our annual prophetic conference where she comes every year, and just ministered tremendously to our church. Pastor Brandon opened up the conference, he and his sidekick, Richard Mendez, and then Bert Wimberly spoke one of the nights, and then Pastor Roxanne did the last two nights, and it was just tremendous. And she always speaks not only into our lives individually, but she also speaks to us as a church, and our church has greatly been impacted, our whole ministry, by her prophetic voice. And so I just want to just prime the pump, because tomorrow night's going to rock and roll, guys. Amen. All right, it's just going to be one of, so don't come tired, come expecting. Amen. All right? Amen. Amen. Get your nap out of the way, whatever you got to do. Extra cup of coffee, all right? But come here with a pep in your step, because it's going to be good. Yeah. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. The bald spot... just appeared out of thin hair. In the room, the curtains were drawn. The rest of the furniture was real. I think our chiropractor might like this one. He had a sore back. That's why he was acting so disc herteous. Pediatricians tend to have very little patience. I love Chinese food as much as the next guy, but you'll never convince me that a chicken fried this rice. That guy at the McDonald's drive-thru gives me the shakes. I don't trust these stairs. They're always up to something. My friend's bakery burned down, and now his business is toast. I dropped out of a communism class, lousy marks. Yesterday, I accidentally swallowed some food coloring. The doctor says I'm okay, but I feel like I died a little inside. When the cannibal showed up late to the luncheon, they gave him the cold shoulder. And when the butcher backed into the meat grinder, he got a little behind in his work. All right, one last thing. In the backwoods of West Virginia, we were talking about West Virginia last night. You don't see too many people hang gliding, but old Zeke decided that to save up and bought himself a hang glider. So he took it to the highest mountain, and after struggling to get to the top, he got ready to take flight, and running to the very edge, he jumped and off into the wind. Meanwhile, Ma and Pa Hicks were sitting on the porch swing talking about the good old days when Ma spotted the biggest bird she had ever seen. "Look at the size of that bird, Pa." Pa rose up. "Get my gun, Ma." Ma ran into the house and brought out his pump-action shotgun, and he took careful aim, and bang, 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 bang. The monster-sized bird continued to sail silently over the treetops. "I think you missed him, Pa," Ma said. "Yeah, but at least he dropped old Zeke." All right. Matthew chapter 15, verse 28. We're going to start in verse 28. Matthew chapter 15 and verse 20. Oh, never mind. Romans chapter 7. I got to get out of this. I'm looking at the wrong thing. Forgive me. I actually have this message prepared, but I want to go somewhere else for just a moment. Is that okay? Did I say Romans? Romans 7. Y'all are all there, but I'm not there yet. But I'm getting there. This, when I read the book of Romans, this chapter in Romans, I appreciate Paul for taking the time to write this specific chapter, these specific words, because I feel like in this chapter, Paul is in my living room. It's like he knows all about me. You know, some of the scriptures are like that, and you know what it's like when you come to church and the pastor, it feels like he's picking on you, right? He's talking straight to you. Hey, let me tell you something. He's not smart enough to have figured all that out and came to church to just preach to you. All right? God's using him. Amen. Amen. So God is speaking to you. And I have found many times, just a very specific thing I'm dealing with, I thank God for the authority in my life. I thank God for pastors who have spoken into my life and have highly blessed me. You know, I am where I am because of authority. Amen. Because my dad taught me this years ago, if you'll submit to authority, you'll always come out on top. Always. No matter what kind of things happen. Because God operates through authority. Jesus gave gifts to the church, didn't he? Yes. Jesus gave gifts. He ascended upon high, the scripture says. What was that? Oh, it's Lacey Rose. All right, she's going to prophesy on the drums. But the scripture says in Ephesians chapter 4 that Jesus ascended on high and gave gifts to men. What were those gifts? Pastor, teacher, prophet, evangelist, and apostle. Isn't that a marvelous thing? These are gifts from Jesus. And they're his ministry in the earth. They're his ministry to us to speak into the lives of people, to speak into the lives of church, to lead the people. And anything outside of that is counterfeit. Amen. So I just want to encourage you. And I'm just saying this from experience that tonight, I've come to church so many times and sit under the preaching of the word by a pastor, and God is using him to speak into my life. Now listen, pastors aren't perfect. I am one, so I know they're not perfect. But they are gifts from God. Amen. And they are how God is speaking into the earth today. Amen. All right, as well as these other fivefold, part of the fivefold ministry. You're going to hear the prophet tomorrow night, and teacher, and pastor. She's Roxanne's kind of all of it. I don't know how the Lord anointed her so much, but she just got all of it. But anyway, so I just want to encourage you to see that, to understand that there's a flow of authority and that your life will prosper if you'll stay in line with authority. Amen. All right, now watch this. When we read the scripture like this, but let's look at verse... Okay, watch this. Verse 16. No, verse 15. Romans 7, 15. "For what I am doing, I do not understand." He's already in my living room. That's why I'm married, so she can tell me so I can understand. What I'm doing, I don't understand. Story of my life. "For what I will to do," watch this, "for what I will to do, or what I want to do, that I do not practice. But what I hate, that I do." Is Paul talking to anybody else in this room besides me? What I want to do, I don't do. And what I hate, that's what I find myself doing. That's why I'm grateful to God that this great Christian, this great apostle called by God, meets us right here. Right? He understands our human nature. He understands. I love this. Now watch this. If then, verse 16, I do what I will not to do, I agree with the law that it is good. But now it is no longer I who do it, but sin that dwells in me. What? Think about this. Paul said, it's not me doing it, it's sin that dwells in me. Does that sound a little bit like a cop-out to anybody else in this room? I wish I would have known that verse as a kid. When I got in trouble, you know, lied or something, Dad, Mom, listen, it's not me. It's the sin that dwells in me. Yeah, and that's why we're going to beat that sin out of you, son. It's, what is Paul saying here? It's not me doing it. It's the sin that dwells in me. And if you're just looking at this on the surface, it looks like he's just copping out. It looks like he's pushing the blame onto something else. And he is. Watch. For I know that in me, that is in my flesh. Anybody got flesh in here? Yeah. Okay. That is in my flesh. Nothing good dwells. For to will is present with me. That is, the desire is there, but how to perform what is good I do not find. That is, I don't find it in the flesh. How to perform what is right, how to perform what is good, I cannot find it in this flesh. All this flesh does is does what I hate to do. Now, what I want you to understand tonight is that you need to know who you really are, and Paul is teaching us who we really are and who that we really need to identify with. Amen. And Paul is making a distinction between him and his flesh. Okay? He says, it's not me, it's the sin. Watch. This is so good. What verse are we on? 19. For the good that I will to do, I do not do, but the evil that I will not to do, that I practice. How's this guy writing the Bible if he can't get anything right? Now, if I do what I will not to do, it is no longer I who do it, but sin that dwells in me. Here it is again. He's driving a point home, my family. It's not I that's doing it. It's sin that dwells in me. Watch. I find then a law that evil is present with me, the one who wills to do good. That is, he makes a separation between him and evil. It's present with me, but this isn't me. I'm the guy, I'm the one who wants to do the right thing. Come on, Christian, talk to me. I'm the one who wants to do the right thing. I'm the one who wants to please God, but there's something else going on. There's a war going on. There's a struggle that's happening. All right, now watch. But I see another law in my members, warring against the law of my mind. We talked a little bit about that last night, your funky mind, right? And bringing me into captivity to the law of sin, which is in my members. What members is he talking about? I'd like to say it's the people in my church sometimes, but it's in my members. God, help us. No, it's right here in this flesh, the members of the body, all right? Oh, wretched man that I am, who will deliver me from this body of death? Now, right there for just one moment, he says, he identifies with the flesh as being wretched. That is, me as the flesh man am a wretched man. Who will deliver me from this body of death? All right, because this body is not glorified yet. But you have a justified spirit living in an unglorified body. All right, and that's the struggle. That's the fight. That's the war. So then with the mind, watch this. I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then with the mind, I myself serve the law of God, but with the flesh, the law of sin. Let me help you tonight. You're not ever going to fix the desires of the flesh. You're never going to change the desires of the flesh. It's just not going to happen. God has to do that through glorifying your body. You just have to make your flesh obey your real desire. All right, for as long as you live on planet Earth, your flesh is not going to come into perfection. All right, it's just not going to happen. So we have been called to victory. We've been called to overcome. So we need to understand, though, first and foremost, okay, what is the real struggle here? Because many times, I don't know about you, but I find myself identifying with the flesh man. Yeah. Right? and thinking there's something wrong with my desire, thinking there's something wrong with me on the inside, when really I've identified with the wrong thing. And Paul is helping us understand, listen, this isn't, yeah, the evil that's being practiced, the things that you hate, that's all found in the flesh. That's not who you are. Paul says, I delight in the law of God according to the inward man. All right, so your inward man, that is that born again spirit, has a desire to please God. That's why when you sin, when you fail, you feel bad about it. If you were not born again, if you were not renewed, if you were not saved, you wouldn't feel bad about it. But the very fact that there's something on the inside of you that does not agree with what you just did, or with what you just said, or that thought that just came to your mind, lets you know, let that be a reminder to you that, yeah, the real me is good. Amen. The real me is good.
Yes.
All right? And the sooner that you can fix that, get that straight in your life, the sooner the sin begins to fall off. The struggle, the grip gets loose on you. And you find yourself getting stronger and stronger when you really know who you are. Then you can certainly know what to do in life. And we have to fix this identity crisis. All right? You are a spirit. Now watch this. I want to take us to 1 John chapter 1. 1 John chapter 1. Would you bring that? Can you bring that up, Sean? Let's look at verse... We'll start in verse 7. 1 John chapter 1. One of the things that will help us, help you, I think, in keeping true to who you are and knowing who you are is learning how to read the Bible correctly. And we need to have a good understanding of the Scriptures. I can remember when I got into my late teens and I was really pursuing God. I went to a Bible college, but I would read the Scriptures and I felt like I couldn't understand a word of it. And I never could understand how my dad could just stand up and just declare what the Word of God said and can rightly divide it and, you know, give sense to it. And I would read it and it would just be like, I don't get this. I just don't get it. Law, grace. It was just one thing after another, you know. I'd be reading the Bible one day and feeling really good. You know, read like a promise. All the promises of God in Him are in Christ Jesus. Yes, and in Him, amen. Right? You see things like that and you get so encouraged. Then you come across a scripture that says, you know, if you don't forgive, neither will your Heavenly Father forgive you. Or if your right eye looks at something it shouldn't look at, you need to pluck it out of your head. Oh. Those scriptures didn't make me feel good. Or how about this, when somebody strikes you on the cheek, turn your cheek. I don't like that scripture. Right? So I was, when I'd read the scriptures, it was kind of up and down, up and down, up and down. Because I was reading it all on one surface, thinking that all of it applied to me. Well, watch this. 1 John chapter 1. But if we walk in the light as He is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son cleanseth. Oh, King James, cleanseth from us from all sin. Verse 8. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. Did you catch that? If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. Now, let's go two chapters over to 1 John chapter 3. Is this okay tonight? Okay. Let's look at verse 7. Let's try 7, yeah. Whoever is, yes. Little children, let no one deceive you. He that doeth righteousness is righteous, even as He is righteous. Verse 8. He that committeth sin is of the devil, for the devil sinneth from the beginning. For this purpose the Son of God was manifested, that He might destroy the works of the devil. Verse 9. Whosoever is born of God does not commit sin. Whoa, hang on a second. Anybody here born of God?
Yes.
Let me see your hand if you're born of God in here tonight. All right. How many of you have sinned since you've been born of God? Can we all read that again? Whoever is born of God does not commit sin. See, I read that verse and go, well, I guess I'm not saved. Because I sure can sin. And it would confuse the crud out of me. I wouldn't know what the heck it was talking about. It says if we say we have no sin, we're lying, the truth and all this, and two chapters later it says whatever's born of God does not sin. Well, which is it, John? Which is it? Doesn't make any sense. For his seed remains in him and he cannot sin. He cannot sin? Now, I'm a pastor. I know people can sin. I know Christians can sin. I know churchgoers can sin. Because he's born of God. Oh, okay. Whoever's born of God does not commit sin for his seed. But if we say we have no sin, we're lying. Okay. Well, this all gets real clear real fast. You want it to clear up?
Yeah.
I want it to clear up. I do too. What is born of God? Is this born of God, this flesh right here?
No,
this flesh is born of your mother. This says whatever is born of God. Oh, the Spirit does not sin. Why? Because his seed remained. Where has his seed been? In my Spirit. And he cannot sin because he's born of God. So this helps us understand what Paul was saying earlier. On the inside, I'm pure and holy, blameless, through and through, justified by faith. Hallelujah. But I got this flesh to contend with. And if I say that this flesh doesn't have any sin, I'm a liar. See, John is talking about, on one surface, that fleshly man. But two chapters later, he's talking about the Spirit man. Do you understand? Who are you identifying with? You know, I hear people ask me this, because I preach the grace of God all the time. And I have them ask me this question. Even Paul had to deal with this question. So should we just keep on sinning then? That sounds like I can just do whatever I want. Well, who is you're talking about? That's my question. Who's I? Who are you saying is I? That sounds like I can just go sin, and just go do whatever I want. Well, who are you saying that you are? Are you talking about you the flesh? Or are you talking about you the Spirit? Because if you're talking about you the Spirit, then yes, you can go do whatever you want because all of your desires are holy.
Amen.
But if you're saying that I'm only identifying with the flesh, then you're going to go sin. So I can just do whatever I want. God help us to do whatever we really want. You know, there's a little girl in our church. She got filled with the Holy Spirit, and I don't know, she's about 8 years old this time, got baptized in the Spirit and started speaking in other tongues. It was just a marvelous thing. And her dad was telling me about her experience. She got filled with the Spirit at kids camp. And so he said, little Savannah, he said, now she speaks in tongues. And so I bent down to her, I said, Savannah, I said, you talking that funny language now? And she looked up at me and she said, yeah, now I say what I really want to say. I went, whoa, that's powerful. Well, then say on. When you pray in the Spirit, you're praying what you really want to pray. Because Paul said, when I pray in the Spirit, my spirit prays, but my understanding is unfruitful. You'll never understand tongues. Not here. You'll never understand it. I've been speaking in tongues for 40 years, maybe a little less. I feel like I've done it all my life. I've been speaking, and I still don't understand it to this day. It's still just as weird as it was the first time I ever did it. Anybody else know what I'm talking about? Huh? I still do it, though, because I found out that there's power in it. Something's going on in the Spirit. Some powerful things are happening in the Spirit. So that's the desire of the Spirit is always right. That's what I'm saying. That's why we need to pray big, bold, powerful, faith-filled prayers. Because those are prayers that are birthed out of our spirit. Those are the kind of prayers that are lived. Like when Jesus said in Matthew chapter 7, ask and it what? Seek and you shall find. Knock and the door will be open. Then he goes on to say everyone that ask receives, and to him who seeks he shall find, and to him who knocks the door shall be open. And you know what, that was the end of his message. But I don't know how many times I've heard preachers go, he doesn't mean anything. He doesn't mean all your prayers get answered. Well, what does he mean then?
Right.
He said, ask and you will receive. Everyone who asks will receive. How else do you interpret that? Oh, you exalting your experience above what he has said. See, this is the problem. We start reasoning out what Jesus says and start backing out. The reasons why we can't have that and why he didn't really mean that. Because we don't like failure. The problem is if you reason, you will fail. Unbelief, doubt will bring failure in your life. We have to just take Jesus at his word and let those words sink into us. Huh? Let's really take him at his word. He said everyone who asks receives. You know who that includes? Everybody sitting in this room tonight. Everyone who seeks finds. Everyone who knocks, the door is going to be open to you. These are the words of Jesus. Can we come up to that place tonight in our faith and say, you know what, Jesus, I'm going to take you at your word. I'm not even going to talk myself out of it. I'm taking you at your word. And despite what I've experienced in the past, I'm not happy about just having experience as they come to me. I want your experience.
Yes.
I want Bible experience. Another place Jesus takes us to in Mark chapter 11, which is one of my favorite chapters. It says, Jesus said unto them, have faith in God. Mark 11:22. And then he says, for whoever. Now listen to the language of this. This is powerful. Whoever. Are there any whoever's in here tonight? Whoever says to this mountain. Now this is interesting to me. I feel like Jesus just goes to the extreme. After he says the statement, have faith in God. Whoever says to this mountain. Whoa, Jesus, can you meet me where I am? Whoever says to this common cold. Okay, I can meet you there. It's like when he came to Abraham and said, I'm going to make you a father of many nations. He goes, I don't have one child. Can we start with one child, God? I've made you a father of nations. He's outlandish, isn't he? Have faith in God. Whoever says to this mountain, you know what God? You know what he's saying? It's going to take faith in God for that to happen. It's going to take God's partnership in your life to make that kind of thing happen. This is the kind of relationship he's called us to have with God. To have supernatural experiences. So he says, whoever says to this mountain, be removed and be cast into the sea, and does not doubt in his heart, but believes that whatever he says, did you hear that? Whoever says whatever he says, he will have whatever he says. And then, so he's given us a specific thing to talk about, a mountain, but then verse 24, it's like he takes the lid off. All right, takes the limits off and he says, therefore I say to you, whatever things, did you hear that? Whatever things you desire when you pray, believe you receive them and you shall have them. Again, Jesus gives us this limitless possibility, this limitless thinking. Whoever is praying for whatever. And you know what Jesus didn't do? Now, obviously, you're all mature enough in here to understand I don't mean really everything, and I don't mean everybody. Hopefully, you're all grown up enough to get it. He didn't say anything like that. I could almost just see him folding his arms and going, you gonna do that? You can have it. You want this? You want this? You want your prayers answered every time you pray? I'm sorry, Garth Brooks is a good country singer, but he's not a theologian. All right, some of God's greatest gifts are unanswered prayers. No. Jesus said, whatever things you desire in your prayer, believe you receive them, you shall have them. See, it's God's desire that all your prayers get answered. Now, I'm not picking. I love Garth Brooks. I appreciate it. I just don't look to him for theological guidance. So, but here's one of the biggest issues is that we look at what we're experiencing and we put the word of God in light of that and say, yeah, but God, that's not what I'm experiencing. Yeah, but my grandma, she had all the faith in the world and she still died or all this kind of stuff. How do you know how much faith she had anyway? How can you possibly know? Only God sees the heart. And that's where the central believing system is. So, I just want to encourage you tonight that your spirit man or your spirit lady is crying out for these things. Because already it's living a heavenly experience on the inside of you. It's already a limitless experience for the spirit. It's a place where sin can't touch it. It's total life. It's eternal life living on the inside of you. That means, my family, anything really is possible. But it has to come out of your spirit and out of your mouth. And when you declare what your spirit man really wants to say, huh? That is, it wants, its desires are lined up with the desires of God.
Yes.
Can I take you to one more scripture right quick? 2 Peter, turn over there. 2 Peter chapter 2? Chapter 1. 2 Peter 1, I think. Yeah, 2 Peter 1 verse 3. As His divine power is given unto us. Okay. According as His divine power has given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness through the knowledge of Him that hath called us to glory and virtue. Okay, what did that scripture say? He already gave you everything you need.
That's right.
Well, I'm waiting on the Lord to heal me. I'm waiting on the Lord. No. He already gave you.
That's right.
Huh? You got to go get it.
Yeah.
Through the knowledge of Him that called us by glory and virtue. Watch verse 4. And whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises. Thank God for His promises. That by these what?
Promises.
By these promises, you might be partakers of the divine nature. That is, you'll live the God kind of life. You'll have the God kind of experience. All right? Be partakers of the divine nature. Watch. Having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. I used to read that and go, what the heck does that mean? Having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. Having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. Oh, okay. That's the realm of the flesh, isn't it? The flesh never desires the right thing.
That's right.
The spirit always desires the right thing. So He says, here's how you can always do the right, get the right thing. And that is that you receive those promises that God has promised you, and they're made up in words so that you can get His words in your mouth. And when you do that, when you pray those prayers and you apprehend them by faith, by your declaration, you then become partaker of what God has called godliness, everything that pertains to life and godliness, and you'll never pray the wrong kind of prayer. And one of the problems with Christians that I've seen just by being a pastor and hearing what they say, well, I don't know how to pray because I don't know if I'm praying for the right thing. I don't know if it's my will, if it's God's will, and I don't want to be out of God's will, so you don't pray, do you?
Say anything.
Yeah. So you don't pray. But see, this will help you tonight.
Yes.
When you pray according to the Word, when you take God at His Word and said, by His stripes I'm healed, that's a promise for you.
Amen.
That Christ became poor, that you, through His poverty, might become rich. Those kinds of promises, then you'll never... This is the cure to the desire for wrong things, to the disease of the desire for the wrong things.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. All right? And you'll always pray the right prayer, and you'll always live the right experience.
Amen.
Powerful thought, huh?
Yeah.
So He's helped us that you won't be praying the wrong kind of prayers because they're not according to the flesh. We're praying according to the Spirit.
Yeah.
And Paul talks about living a life by the Spirit as we... If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. You know, there's two different things, living in the Spirit and walking in the Spirit. When you became a child of God, guess what? You're living in the Spirit. But walking in the Spirit, that was God's part. Your part is walking in it.
Amen.
Walking in the Spirit. All right? And that way you can actually do what your real desire is.
Right.
Amen. We need to live our lives in such a way that we are doing what we want to do. Hallelujah. That sounds like you just go do what you want. Yeah, it does. Isn't it free?
Yeah.
Isn't it freeing?
Awesome.
I mean, such liberty in that. Because your desire is His desire.
Yeah. Amen.
As Pastor Brandon was saying last night, this thing of God wanting us, wants to hear from us, wants to know what we want. What do you want? What is it that you want? He really does want to know what you want. He really does want to know what you want. He wants to hear from you. And He wants you to declare it like it's actually yours.
Yes.
I find it interesting that The scripture teaches us to come boldly before the throne of grace that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Now think about that. When I think about obtaining mercy from someone, let's say most of the time it's my wife, okay? And I think about how I need to approach Heather for mercy on her part because I've, you know, said something wrong or, you know, hurt her. My thinking is not like that. It's not a bold approach. When I think about getting mercy from someone, I think about someone standing before a judge pleading for mercy. Right? You might even imagine someone on their knees. Be merciful. Please have mercy on me. This goes against every part of our being. That is, in the flesh and in the mind. Come boldly that you may receive mercy. God, that just works against everything I feel about it. Who cares? Because here's the thing. And think about this. That is what humility looks like. Come boldly. Thank you, God, for your mercy. Your mercies are new every day. Your mercy is everlasting. I give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy endures forever. So I thank you that I can come here and obtain mercy from you. And I come here because you told me to come like this. Like I actually deserve it. Now this isn't our made up approach. This is God's terms for us to meet.
Yeah, it's good.
Now how humiliating is that to our flesh and to our own thinking?
Yeah.
But see, religious people would call you arrogant for acting like that. They put on that false humility, right? That somber, oh God, you're not worthy to even approach your very right big toe. How holy are you? You're God of the cosmos, God of the great, blah, 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 blah. I remember when I was a kid growing up in our church. I loved our Pentecostal church, but I might just admit it was pretty religious. We had a lot of good experiences, but there was still a lot of ignorance. And one of the things I can remember, I was telling my church this Sunday, everybody would be talking, like, you know, like you guys were talking there and eating dinner and stuff. And then we'd gather for prayer. I know my brother will remember this. We'd gather for prayer. And sometimes we'd all get in a circle, right? As soon as the prayer was on, right? Okay, guys, let's pray. Amen. Let's seek the Lord together. And as soon as the prayer started, everybody went into this mode, and it was, oh God, if you would down upon us, oh God, help us. Oh Lord, we don't know what to do without you. Oh Lord, we pray that you would visit us somehow. Oh God, do something special in our midst. Oh God. I'm like, what happened to these people? And as soon as you're done, hey, hallelujah. Have a good week, man. Like, what the heck was that? So I can almost see the father going, oh, man. You were real with everybody else. Can I have you too? Amen. See, he just said amen. Hallelujah. Today I was thinking about this service and I was meditating on the sermon I didn't preach. And I closed my eyes and had a vision of someone here. And I heard the words, that you live under the noise of sickness. And that noise of sickness is one that bombards you continually. The noise comes from your mouth. The noise comes from maybe a doctor. The noise comes from WebMD. The noise comes from all kinds of, from the devil. And and you have somewhat succumbed to this and felt like this is who you are. That you're sick and that's who you're going to be. And if there's something to catch, you're the one that's going to catch it. And when I came out of that, and I kept hearing that the noise of sickness. And then I felt like if you tonight would identify with, maybe if that's you here tonight, if you would say, yeah, that's me, I've just been surrounded by it. The Lord gave me that vision and gave me that thought because tonight that is over in your life. He didn't just tell me to call that out and say, well, life sucks for you. Yeah. No, he did that to set you free tonight.
Yeah, that's right.
And to get another noise in your ears. The noise of his promise.
Amen.
The noise of what he has said. The noise of deliverance.
Yes.
Mm-mm-mm.
Yes.
Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. If you're here, if that speaks to you, could you identify yourself? Because I want to pray for you right now. This is the last night of this in your life. You're going to get free tonight. No longer identifying with sickness. Because you don't have to succumb to every form of little sickness or disease out there. All right? He has made a way for you to live in divine health every day of your life. And deliver you from that. Because it's not more powerful than him. And it's not more powerful than you. Tonight, is that you?
I get a lot of migraines.
Okay. Okay. Yes, come up here. I want to pray for you. You're going to get set free tonight. Amen. Did you raise your hand? Won't you come up here, sweetheart? Anybody else here? If that's you, come up here. Just come now. You're going to get healed tonight. Yeah, would you? Amen. Yeah. Praise God.
Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. If y'all would just line up here and face me, if you would. I want to just lay my hands on you. I want to talk to you for just a moment, though. Just like a doctor would prescribe something, I want to prescribe some medicine for your soul, spirit, soul, and body, and it's called the Word of God. I just want to just quote some scriptures to you for a moment. First, Psalm chapter 103 says, "Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits, who forgives all your sins, and who heals all your disease, who redeems your life from destruction, who crowns you with loving kindness and tender mercies, who satisfies your mouth with good things." Ah, he has good things for you to say. He's given you good things to declare over your life. And those good things are, he's forgiven all my sins. He's healed all my disease. He's redeemed my life from destruction. Acts chapter 10, verse 38 says how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth, who went about doing good and healing all. See, God thinks that healing is good. Mm-hmm. Sickness is not good. Disease is not good. Pain is not good. All right? How God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with power, who went about doing good and healing all who were oppressed by the devil, for God was with him. See, God is on the side of healing. Isaiah chapter 53 says, "Surely he has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows." Now, if we think about that, it just seems like he took care of all of our sadness. But it's deeper than that. The word griefs means malady, calamity, sickness, disease. It literally means malady, calamity, sickness, disease. All right? He bore your malady, your calamity, your sickness, and your disease. And carried our sorrows. The word sorrows literally means pain. So that you wouldn't tolerate any of it. Sickness, disease, malady, calamity, and pain. Jesus carried all of it not so that you could also carry it. He did it so that you wouldn't ever have to and never tolerate it in your life. Though it may come into your life, it can't stay in your life. All right? Because you're a child of God. You have a covenant with Him, a covenant that was cut in His body. Surely, by His stripes, the Scripture says, we are healed. Do you believe that? Do you believe? Because that's what it's going to take, us to believe Him. He did everything. He paid for your healing. He paid for your total deliverance. And all He needs you to do is to say, Lord, I believe that. I believe that's true for me. I believe that's true for me. Right now, in this moment. Father, thank You in Jesus' name. The noise of sickness is silenced tonight. The noise of sickness is silenced tonight. Yeah. The noise of sickness is silenced tonight. The noise of sickness is silenced tonight. And now there's a song of deliverance coming up. Mm-hmm. A song of deliverance. The word of God shall be in their mouth. It shall be in their heart and in their mouth. That is the word of faith which we preach. Thank You, Lord. Now you are delivered from this. Now the enemy, the power of the enemy is broken from your life. Sickness has no hold, has no grip, has no place in your life. Pain and disease has no hold, has no grip, has no place in your life. He has healed you. So therefore you are healed tonight in the name of Jesus. And the Scripture says they lay hands on the sick and they recover. So just by that right there, just by that very thing right there. Now, I want to encourage you to do something. The devil's going to lie to you in the very near future. Maybe by the time you get back to your seat. Because he don't like what just happened. And the Scripture says that it's praise that silences the avenger. All right? You feel something, you feel a symptom, you feel a pain, you go, well, I guess it didn't work. No, don't let that come out of your mouth. At that moment, you say, thank You, Jesus, that I am healed. You offer up praise. Thank You that You did this. Not thinking that you're going to do it, thank You that You already did it. Hallelujah. I'm letting Your word do its work in my body. The preacher said they shall lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. I'm recovering in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. And I thank You, Lord, for it. And if you'll stay vigilant with that, let only His word come out of your mouth. Now, you're going to be tempted to say other things. Don't let those things come out of your mouth. All right? You just say with God, it's a new day for you. It's a new experience for you. Whole new thing. A whole new world. Yeah. Amen. That's what you're coming into. Amen. God bless you. God bless you.
Thank you.
Amen. Yeah. Praise God. Well, I hope this has encouraged you tonight. I'm done.